Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Jeff Burningham is a tech entrepreneur. He is an investor and an explorer of human potential. His newest book is The Last Book Written by a Human. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
George, it's so good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and what motivated you to put pen to paper and write the book.
Yeah, well, I'm a dad of four and actually a grandpa. Things happen fast here in Utah. Yeah, I'm 48 years old. I've been a grandpa for 15 months or so.
Amazing.
And yeah, I'm concerned about our future. I have a background as a serial entrepreneur. Started a tech company as an undergrad, sold it to a NASDAQ-listed firm in my mid-20s, grown a real estate private equity firm, its own billions and billions of dollars of assets, and then went into venture capital. So I've been the first investor in most of the fast rising tech startups along the Silicon Slopes, which is the fast growing tech corridor here in Utah. In 2017, I start my book on the Ganges River in Varanasi, India, and a scene that I'm looking at with my wife, Sally, where I feel my soul being like pulled into deeper waters. I lost my mind, ran for governor in the state of Utah, 2019 and 2020. The most critical months of that campaign were March, April, May, and June of 2020. So right when the pandemic hit the United States, I was running against two very well-known politicians. And as I've learned as an investor, whenever there's that amount of disruption, there's a flight to safety. So I actually remember laying on this little blue couch about midnight, March 11th, 2020, something like that, and just bawling my eyes out because I knew the 18 months that I had put into the statewide campaign. We were a little behind because I'm a political outsider, but we had a chance to win, but realized that in that environment, there was no way I was going to win. So lost into the summer of the pandemic, 2020. And I often tell I've been an adjunct professor down the street at BYU. I've taught thousands of entrepreneurial students. And I often tell them that with time and space, anything can be created. And I had time and space as a 43-year-old man for the first time in the summer of 2020. And I wrote this cosmic weird book called The Last Book Written by a Human, Becoming Wise in the Age of AI. This is like what came out of me. It's what came out of this time and space. And I think it contains the message for our moment in 2025, which is that as our machines become more intelligent, we as humans must become more wise.
Wisdom and intelligence, not the same thing.
No. Yeah. So that's a background. That's like a 4-minute background on me, serial entrepreneur. But yeah, now I used to be like this. I grew up in this very boxed in religion as a Mormon, Latter-day Saint Christian. And I used to be this hard driving charger, get things done, entrepreneur kind of guy. And in my midlife here, it seems like I'm shifting to some sort of artist, hippie author guy.
How do you feel about that?
It's unexpected. Let's say that. Like, it's unexpected for myself, for, my parents, for some people that know me, but it feels right. I'll tell you that. And I think, we need to follow our hearts. I think we're on a heroic journey as humans, both individually and collectively. And I talk about in the book about climbing my little mountain of success. I had built a little stage for myself, winning awards and building all these companies and blah, blah, blah. That stage needed to be disintegrated, and it has been. And now I'm kind of floating on the pathless path of not exactly sure where I'm going. But I think that's the hero's journey. You know, we stop looking outside of ourselves for answers or for success, for validation, and we realize there's only one place to go. And that's inside of us, where all the answers lie. And that's the journey I'm on. And I think that's the journey that the cosmic mirror that is AI is going to accelerate within humanity. That's the argument in the book.
I find all that to be really interesting and extremely relatable. So I'll turn 47 this month, and I've always joked that I'm a human doing who's working to become a human being.
Yeah.
And so everything you sort of said really resonated with me. And I wonder if everybody goes through this and no, I don't. I don't think that everybody necessarily goes through it. I think we all should. But yeah. To consciously dissolve, whatever the word used that you used to kind of move away,
like
disintegrate.
That stage, yeah. It's just emptied out. You look damn good for 47, George, by the way. Come
Thanks,
on,
brother.
Bro. Let's celebrate that. You look real good. Yeah.
So dissolve, that just means, you know, I'm not going to keep climbing on the same stage, even though I could for the rest of my life because I've enjoyed so much success. I've built so much goodwill and so much infrastructure, but there's more or different for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I say is that I got to the top of my little mountain of success and there was nothing there but a cold howling wind. Only void and more void on top of that. And what do you do when you're at the top? You know, you've done everything that you've been programmed to do. You've done everything you thought you should do. Built companies. I was a father of four. Been a bishop in my faith tradition. Again, you know, like just everything. But you get up there and maybe the mountain, maybe it was the wrong mountain, or maybe it's not a mountain at all. But for whatever the reason is, there's nowhere to go but down, back down to through the valley of the shadow of death, picking up the pieces of a little bit of a tattered life, not because of anything that you did wrong necessarily, but just at least for me, it was the pace. You know, kind of like, okay, George, you can't keep up. We'll catch you on the, you know, on the way back down the mountain. See ya. You know, like boom, 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 just doing, doing, doing. I realized that I had become, yeah, what I call in the book, addicted to doing. I'd become a human doing, but we're not human doings. We're human beings. And again, I think that AI here, luckily, as is often the case, the obstacle becomes the way for humanity. And I think that AI will become an obstacle in a lot of ways, but that it's a crucible that we as humans get to walk through together. And as we walk through this crucible, we have the opportunity to transform. First of all, to reflect, I should say, on our reflection. What is AI showing us? So we reflect, we transform, and ultimately evolve and bring more of our being to all of our doing. As long as we're embodied, George, we're going to have stuff to do. We're both dads. You know, we're married. We, you know, we can podcast, build companies, write books, sleep, eat, all the things we need to do. It's about bringing more of our being to all that we do. How can we bring that special something, that magic that each of us has inside of us to all of our doing? I think we can do that in the age of AI when machines become better at doing, at least with efficiency, what we as humans are so used to doing. What does that leave us with? That leaves us with our being. So it's time to go inside. It's time to lean into the heroic journey that is calling each of us. And I think this is an individual and that will lead to a collective effort as well. At least that's my inclination. That's my intuition.
And maybe even a hope.
And a hope and a dream. Amen, brother. Like, you know, it's funny. I've been on like 70 or 80 podcasts in the last month or two as I launched this book. And a couple, maybe five of them said, can't we just unplug AI, turn it off? I mean, if in an ideal situation, maybe that would be what's best, maybe for us as humans, but that's just not an option. The cat's out of the bag. That's not how evolution works. This is the next stage of transformation and evolution for humans. And, you know, even if we wanted to pull the plug, there are going to be a lot of others around the world that do not do that. So it's just not an option. So therefore, Jeff, the last book written by a human is kind of a bull case for AI, like how it can be focused on human flourishing, help more humans flourish. And a couple of people have asked, you know, like, why are you so optimistic? And I just said, what's the alternative? I mean, I may not be as optimistic as I kind of come through in the book. I'm trying to paint a picture, a road, a path that we could choose to go down as humans. But in my experience, fear very seldom plays a positive role in anyone's life. So I think we as individuals, as humans, need to ask ourselves, why are we strangely attracted to this technology, artificial intelligence, yet also at the same time scared to death of it? I understand that it's a scary road that we must go down now, but I think it is the road that's calling us. I think it's what's ahead of us. And we need a good case. You know, the reason I wrote the book is I was sick of talking with all my friends about how to make money from AI or gain power, control, whatever the case may be. What was interesting to me about artificial intelligence that summer of 2020 after I lost the governor's race was the existential questions that it was going to push humanity towards. Wait a second, who am I really? What is really going on here on Earth? And what does AI have to do with all of this? How is AI's intelligence different than my intelligence? Or is there a difference? So these are the types of questions that I think more and more humans will be asking in the decades to come. And my bet, George, to stop my speech right here, my bet is on a renaissance in human consciousness in the next decade. That's what I think is coming. That's what I hope is coming. That's what I'm working towards as I kind of make this career pivot into becoming an author and a speaker, et cetera, et cetera.
Renaissance of consciousness. I certainly hope so. And kind of circling back to your original chat about intelligence versus wisdom, and as you were talking, it reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from Blaise Pascal, saying that the majority of humanity's problems are caused by a man's inability to sit quietly in a room by himself. And so engaging in internal work, we're so used to looking outside, and then the only way forward truly and to find real wisdom that we'll take to have a successful relationship with AI and whatever new technology comes down in the future, it's going to be contingent upon our ability to have that self-examination that Blaise Pascal recognized we're not really awesome at years ago, and I don't think that we still are today. So how do you square that circle or bridge that gap or whatever?
Pascal's quote is one of my very favorites too. I'm glad you brought it up. And to me, we could take it a level higher than even, let's say, humanity or humans. And lest I be too audacious, but again, this is the last book written by human. I talk about all the big things in this book. We, you know, about God, about who we really are, about what reality is, about AI. I even hit tantric sex, George. We hit everything in this
book.
Let's
boil go. The ocean. I like it.
And so anyways, my point is, maybe this is the grand experiment that we're all working on. In other words, maybe that Pascal's quote doesn't just relate to humans. Maybe it relates to God itself. There's a chapter in the book called The All-Seeing Eye in the Sky, which is a bedtime story that I wrote for my children and I for the book. And it basically is talking about how we are reflections of the divine, and that we're now mimicking what we've seen or felt before here on Earth. We're creating reflections of us. We're creating intelligence that we don't understand exactly what it is. We call it artificial, but we don't really know how artificial it really is, or, you know, how real it really is. We're not sure yet. And AI obviously mimics the brain in a lot, and in a lot of really interesting ways. So the all-seeing eye in the sky had a problem like all eyes have, which is without a reflection, I can't look at my own eye. I mean, try as hard as you can. You can't look at your own eye without a reflection. So it shattered itself, caused itself to forget into an infinite number of parts so that it could have a reflection, so that it could come back to itself, so that it could remember the joy of being embodied, the beauty and messiness in being human. And that's, I think, a model that we are now expanding on and or exploring as humans as we create AI. What are we creating here? I believe that this kind of divine unity is much more at the heart of truth. It's much more base level truth than anything that may divide us. You know, you're in Phoenix, I'm in Utah, you have hair. I don't, bummer. I mean, like, we have different backgrounds, but George, anytime we're with another human being, there is always more that unites us than divides us. Liberal, conservative, white, black, rich, poor, male, female, whatever. These divisions are largely illusory. This divine unity is at the base of what really exists. And I think it's at the heart of Pascal's quote. And it's the heart of what we're doing here. God is, quote unquote, waking up. It's coming back to itself. And we all get to be part of that process, which is an exciting, fun, arduous, and challenging process. And I think that AI as a cosmic mirror can help us along this road and path that we're on.
Is God waking up because we are welcoming him back into our lives and we're noticing him more? Or am I missing that?
I mean, I hope so. I don't know exactly why God is waking up, and I don't know if you feel this. I certainly feel this in my own heart. So I'm, you know, N of one example. But then I also feel it in my community, in my faith community as a Latter-day Saint, in greater Utah, as I've traveled the world. I've been to over 60 countries. You know, I don't know if we've, again, on the Ganges River, I basically saw this scene. I won't spoil it or share the story too long, but it was so familiar to me, even though it was so different than the way I grew up as a Westerner and Christian. I realized that all of existence is a never ending cycle of life, death, and rebirth. Life, death, rebirth. The breath mimics this. You know, as the sun rises right here this morning in Utah, like the sun rising and then setting today will mimic this. And so if that is the case, what is it time to let go of? And is it time for humanity to be reborn? Are we creating, as Eckhart Tolle might call it, a new earth? I think we are. I think we're in the process of doing this. So, why exactly now is the time? That's above my pay grade. I talk about the universe being an intelligent system of design in the book. And I think that the universe is an intelligent system of design that controls a lot of what we're going through, that helps us along the path. And so for whatever the case may be, I hope that we're remembering God. I hope that we're finding divinity within ourselves. I don't know if we're making that space, especially in the age of social media and technology, but I think we need to. I think it's time to do that.
I couldn't agree more. And I do feel that what you described is the case. And I'm very hopeful for the future. Are you hopeful for the future?
Yeah, man. I mean, again, what's the alternative? But yeah, I am. I mean, it's discouraging. I'm looking out, Yeah, anyways, I'm looking at where Charlie Kirk was shot just 10 minutes down the road a month or so ago. I was there speaking to the former governor, political dignitaries, several hundred students like a week before that happened to Charlie. And so there's a lot of chaos in our world. There's a lot of challenge. There's a lot of trauma. But we can reprogram ourselves. AI can't, theoretically. But humans can reprogram. We can deprogram. We can come back to ourselves and we can be better. So yeah, I'm globally optimistic, although day to day, sometimes it's hard not to get a little down, if you know what I mean.
That is the truth, brother, for sure. We all drive, so it's easy to lose faith in humanity on the highway.
Is it bad there in Phoenix?
I'm just
drivers
kidding.
Are bad.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on. I loved our conversation today. Where can people learn more about you? How could they engage? Where can they get their copy of The Last Book Ever Written by a Human?
Yeah, it's not hard to find me. If you just Google Jeff Burningham, I'm on most social medias, although I have mixed feelings about social media. And then my website's jeffburningham.com. The book's available at Amazon, Walmart, you know, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you want to get the book, you can check it out. I wrote this book to be a conversation starter that potentially works its way into a movement. I call it the human political movement in the book. So if this is interesting to you, I want to hear your thoughts. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm not hard to find. And I think we need to elevate the conversation about AI here in 2025.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Jeff your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to jeffburningham.com and learn more about all things Jeff. Pick up your copy of The Last Book Written by a Human, wherever you buy your books, and connect with them on social media and all the good things. Thanks again, Jeff.
Thanks, George. Good to be with you.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.